whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks that we can celebrate this freedom that we have in you. Our hearts are full of joy. We rejoice because we have been set free by Almighty God. We give you thanks and praise. Father, we thank you also for this opportunity where we are gathered in freedom, Lord God, in this country. We thank you for our nation. We thank you, Lord God, that your hand of favor is upon this nation, Father God. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's take our seats this morning. We're going to continue on this morning, and it's good to see you. It's great to see new faces here. Welcome. If you are new and visiting, as Pastor John said, we welcome you, and we thank you for taking the time to coming and visiting here this morning. Well, on Tuesday, let's start with Tuesday. On Tuesday, we had a visitor here at church, and I always love it when people from our community, they rock up unannounced, especially when they have prayer needs, when they need pastoral care. That tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that they can trust us. They feel that they can trust us as a church. We pray for them, and they would have other physical needs. And most times we are able to meet those needs, and sometimes we are not able to. We are unable to meet those needs, and that's the reality. But you feel good. You feel good that you were in some ways or other, you were able to help. And the important thing is that the people of the community are aware that there is a church, a place of refuge that they can come to. But on Tuesday, however, we had a visitor who knocked on the door, and Tegan, most of you know Tegan. She works as an admin person, but she, you know, what she does, the admin person title cannot contain. She does more than that title. She does more, and she does a great job. Thank you, Tegan. She answered the door. Yeah, that's good. She answered the door, and she came up to my office, and she has this special look. And a special smile, a voice when she says, there's someone at the door. I can't replicate that. I can't do that in her voice. It tells me that she is not quite sure of the person that is at the door. It could be anyone. Someone who could be drunk. Maybe someone who's not in the right state of mind. We face many different scenarios here at church. So we could, in that short time, prepare ourselves to meet this person who's at the door. And so we headed towards the door. She quickly mentioned that this guy was from XUAGL, our electricity provider. When I walked towards this guy, something just told me that, I don't know. I'm still not sure about this person. Anyway, I went up to him, I introduced myself, and he explained to me that there was a potential problem with the way that our account was set up. To this, my immediate response was, nah, you got to be joking me, buddy. Not possible. It's not possible. We have a new system set up and it's all done properly. He was apparently trying to get into our meter box, which is locked, and he showed me a set of keys, master keys of this area that he can get into the meter box, but he couldn't get into ours to verify the issue that they think that they had. He said that he didn't bring the correct set of keys. He was giving me all the wrong vibes, asking me to give him the keys, to which I said, nah. Then he pulled out a piece of paper with some address, a spreadsheet with some address on it, and he had our address highlighted, explaining to me why he was here visiting us. And this is what he said. This is what he thought the problem was. He said, we as a church was using more power. We were using more electricity according to their calculation. But the real problem was that for them that it was not recorded under any account. It was not recorded under any account. Speaking with him further, I realized that the address that he was that was typed on the paper, it didn't seem right. On his record, he had 16 to 38 Gretton Court, whereas we are only 16 to 32 Gretton Court. So he went back and he said he was going to look into further into this issue and try to verify their mistakes and all that. And so we are on the clear. Good news. We are on the clear. I think we've heard back from him, but still, the address issue is not solved. And the reason I tell you this is there was something that he said that kind of struck me. What he said got me thinking that, yes, in a way, he is right. He is right that as a church, we need more power. We need more power for 2024. More power, not the kind that is generated through turbines in a dam somewhere, but more divine power that we already inherit as born-again Christians. A power that is seen through us, used by us, which is credited to our God because He is the source of the power. If you are taking notes, you would have guessed it already. The title of my sermon is More Power. More power. And I want to encourage each one of us this year that we need to operate at a higher level, at a higher capacity. We need more of God, His divine power to do greater works that will grow us in a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him and magnify Him, His name. When we search the Bible, when we search God's Word, we cannot miss the mighty power of God at work. Through countless signs and wonders and miracles, our mighty and powerful God at work through those who trusted Him and believed in Him and followed Him throughout the ages. Many of you, through your one-year Bible reading, would have read through Genesis about the mighty power that God displayed to humble Pharaoh and free his people from their enemies. When his people's progress was hindered, when they were faced with the wall of Jericho, a city that seemed impenetrable, God through them broke through. God broke through. In the times of Elijah, our God demonstrated himself by fire against the pagan god Baal. And his prophets, you would remember it in the book of Kings, where he showed us that he is far superior over other religion or prophets. In fact, there's nothing that compares to our God and his might. In the days of Daniel, he spared the three Hebrew boys. You would have known them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by being with them in a fiery furnace. Those that were around the furnace perished. But our all-powerful God saved them. Through that, he humbled the emperor Nebuchadnezzar, caused him to declare that there is no other God. The Apostle Paul gives us another example of the power of God when he writes of his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule, any other rule or authority. There was no way that this writer, Paul, through mere words could explain God's extraordinary power. If we were to try, we too will fall short. But what he is getting at, what he is trying to say is that this power is beyond measure. A superabounding or surpassing power. Power that is more than enough. And Scripture is full of example of His power in action. He is the great God, mighty and awesome, as Nehemiah puts it. So here's the thing. There is no short supply of His divine power. We are able to access that even today. We can access His power today. You and I have access to more power. But I don't want us to misinterpret this power that I am talking about. I don't want us to miss the mark. This divine power that I'm talking about this morning, the power or having access to divine power, the Bible, in our case, is our true guide. The Bible, the Word of God, is our true guide to understand, to seek God, and to apply His power in our lives. You see, if I was to define power, which I'm sure you all smart people, all of you know what it means. But here's what the Macquarie Dictionary tells me. It says that power is the ability to do or act, the capability of doing or affecting something with strength, might, force, the possession of control or command over others, dominion, authority, or influence. So here's the thing. The way the world interprets and utilizes power to the way a follower of Jesus must works in opposite ways. It works in opposite ways. In the world, we have seen people with power want more power. They want more power. The Bible teaches, if you have, then give. History tells us about those who came to power were more of the takers than the givers or sharers. The worldly example, we find people with power want to have complete control. It's happening right now. It teaches to be number one. But the Bible says to be the greatest, you have to become the least. You need to serve. So why is it that I am making the whole fuss about more power? More of God's divine work in us and through us. To become like Christ. To make a difference. To be light and salt. To be Christ's ambassadors. To evangelize is not just about being persuasive, winning debates, or convincing people to become like us. Sharing the gospel involves spiritual struggles. It involves spiritual struggles. We should not be surprised when we get pushbacks or opposition. The Bible describes the Christian life as a battle to be fought, a war to be waged against spiritual enemies. Timothy was told to fight the good fight of faith and to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul described his ministry as a fight. Christians are told to put on the whole armor of God. We use weapons in our spiritual warfare. We need the power of God to save, transform, and equip us. And He, praise God for His Holy Spirit. He gives us His dunamis, His dynamite power, His Holy Spirit, as we find in Acts chapter 2, to enable us to live godly lives, to be Christ's witness here on earth. And believe for healing, which we have. We have testimonies after testimonies of God's healing, His power at work in us, His miracles, answered prayers. Having this, however, this power is not for the sake of just having it and flaunting it around, but to glorify Him, to glorify our God. Learning to rely on the power of God is part of living the Christian life. So this morning I want to share a couple of keys on how to operate and rely more on God and allow His power to operate in us and through us. And there is no better way to learn than from the example set by God Himself. And I want to take you to Matthew chapter 26. You would have said, when is He going to go to Scripture? So, well, here it is, all 10 verses of it. We are all familiar with the passage. Jesus, before He was arrested, trialed, and crucified, betrayed by one of His own, He takes three of His trusted friends, His disciples, and goes up to one of His favorite places to be with Father God. Miranda read that scripture this morning at ER. I'm reading from Matthew 26, verses 36 onwards. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if the cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." When I was preparing for this message to bring the word to you guys this morning, the Holy Spirit kept bringing this scripture to me. There is not a mention of power, the word power, in this passage of scripture. There is nothing of a kind of display that I talked about how God mightily worked through his people and his mighty actions. There's none of that in here. But God has his own ways of teaching from his word. You see, where there is anguish, pain, soul-crushing grief, it was a point of preparation for God's power to work through the Son of God, fully God, fully man, Jesus, for a greater purpose for the entire world. If we are to be prepared, if we are to be prepared for more of God's power to be at work through us, it must begin by being in the presence of God through prayer. Listen, friends, this may sound like an option, a choice, which it is. For us, it is a choice. It's an option, being in the presence of God in prayer. But the sooner we begin to treat it as a priority rather than an option, the better it is for us. The Lord's priority was being with God through prayer. How does that help us when we are in his presence, when we are in prayer? It teaches us to seize, to trust, to seize to trust in our frail efforts and hand over ourselves, our resources, our weaknesses, our strengths, which is comparably our weaknesses, again, over to the one who can. Over to the one who can do anything with that. When that happens, God's power is what the scripture tells us. God's power is perfected in our weakness. His power is perfected in our weakness. Prayer is a vital part of operating and relying on the power of God. Because when we pray, as Jesus said, when we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, the model of prayer, we acknowledge who we are in God. We acknowledge that God has made us his sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of the sovereign God. When we say, "Our Father," what a privilege. What a privilege when we pray in that manner. When we call to our Father. What a privilege. When we pray, also we honor him. Honor him for who he is. What do we say? We say, "Hallowed be thy name. Lord, Father, let your name that is holy be honored." We honor your holy name. We praise your holy name. Your name shall be praised forever because of your great love, your mercy, your compassion, and your grace for us. When we pray, we declare, let your will be done. Powerful words. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Just imagine how much more we are seeking. How much more we are seeking and requesting when we are asking God for his will to be done in our lives. How much more powerful, powerful. When we do that, we let Father God perfect his will in and through us. Being in Father God's presence through prayer opens God opportunities. Being in prayer with Father God in his presence makes God incidences to happen. And I'm pretty sure we all have experienced that. We as a church has experiences of these God opportunities and God incidences. It was after, in the Bible it says, it was after the prayer meeting in the early church that the place where they were meeting was shaken. And what happened after that? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Next to, it was during a prayer meeting that Peter was miraculously released from prison. How many of us wants to be released from something this morning? God is ready to release each one of us. If there is any hold in our lives, we are to just seek and be in his presence in prayer. If we want to be individuals, if we want to be a church that wants to see more of God's divine, his supernatural power at work, starting from today, we got to position ourselves to be in the presence and continuously seeking him through prayer. And as we give ourselves in this way, watch his works of wonder in our lives. Pastor John mentioned this. We have opportunities for you, church, family, to come and get together in prayer here in this place. Every morning, we have engine room. Why do we call it engine room? Because it is prayer which moves the heart of God, that moves the church to a place where God wants us. That's our engine room. We move the heart of God for the church to move where he wants us to. We have prayer starting the beginning of the year. Tomorrow we'll be starting here at 7 a.m. Why? Because we want God's power to manifest in this house, in the lives of our people. So I don't want you to miss out. Because if you are not involved, you are missing out. Don't miss out on the opportunity of prayers where we come together as a community, as a family, and seek God. Let his power manifest in each one of our lives through that. Now, there's something else that this passage of Scripture teaches us. When we look at this passage, there's something else that Jesus is doing that we can all apply in order to see the power of God work through us. Something that will seem counterintuitive to the world in the way that they would see or understand power, and that is submission. Submission. In praying, Jesus submitted himself to the Father's will. He said, my Father, if there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet I want what is not important to me, but for my desire is to fulfill what is your will, your plan for me. If there is not a way that you can deliver me from this suffering, then your will must be done. To submit means to obey, put under, be subject to, submit oneself unto, put in subjection under or be under obedience or obedient to. If Jesus can, so must we. So must we. Jesus gave us a wonderful example of how to apply this to our lives, didn't he? He didn't just tell us to die to self, to carry the cross. to submit. But he did it. He did it for the will of the Father to be fulfilled in him for us. He did the hard yards for us. He showed us how it's done. For you and I today, it's simple. It is to set aside what you think might be best for you, for your life, for your family. Sit with him. Sit with Father God and ask him as Jesus did. Be intentional. Ask and seek God's perfect will in all, in every area of your lives. Let's be honest. When was the last time you sat with Father God and did that? Where you submitted everything to God's will. We can pray. We can do our 5-minute prayers. We can ask him the list prayer, as Pastor John mentions all the time. That's easy to do. When was the last time we submitted? We said, Father, let not my will for my life be done, but your will be fulfilled in my life. Help me in this. I need your will to be in. The next step I take in my life, it's got to be you. It's got to be directed by you. It's got to be your voice in my mind, not the enemy's. And so I want to be in your presence. I want to sit with you. I want to slow down. I want to submit, Father. Once, twice, three times, Jesus went back to his Father. Being God himself, he kept going back. Let your will be done, Father. This is not easy. It's never easy. But would you take over? Would you direct me? As simple as it may sound, when we intentionally and honestly do that, I can assure you that there will be complete clarity. I trust in my Father. We trust in our Father. He will give us complete clarity. Clarity when we do that, no matter how hard or easy the task is at hand. Each one of us can and should operate in greater power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 19 reminds us this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God does not require us to submit because he's a tyrant, as those who don't believe in him might make him out to be. No, but because he is a loving Father, he knows what is best for us. The blessing and the peace that we gain from humbly surrendering and submitting ourselves to him daily are a gift of grace. And nothing in this world can compare to that. We need the message of the cross because it is the revelation from God on how to get into a proper relationship with him. For those who have accepted this message by faith, it is the power of God to salvation, the power that is at work in us. And I believe, church, that we can grow more and operate more at a far greater capacity as we position ourselves, as we seek to be more in his presence through prayer, and as we completely submit to him, to his will, as Jesus showed us. I have faith, and I can't wait for God to apply, to give us more of his power for this year, for 2024, because he is ready. God is ready to mightily and powerfully work in and through us for His glory. For His glory. Let's close our eyes this morning.